All right. Good to see everybody this evening. Be finding Judges chapter number 14. Judges chapter number 14. That good, brother. All right. We do count it a real joy to be here.
Amen.
Like Brother Shepherd said, we've got to be friends and appreciate this church. Appreciate your pastor, the radio station, and all the good ministry, good work of the Lord that he's doing right here. Thank y'all for putting us up. Real nice room up the road there. And thank y'all for feeding us so good. They said that was chicken, but man, them legs was so big, I think they might have come off an ostrich or something that we had at lunchtime, but whatever it was good. Amen. I took my coat off and rolled my sleeves up because I knew it'd be all over everything, but I sure did enjoy it. So I know there's a lot of labor in the kitchen, and we sure appreciate all of that. And so be finding Judges chapter 14. Boy, it's just such a blessing to be with all the men of God and such stature, wisdom, and so forth. And I appreciate each and every one of you. Appreciate the good preaching we've had. Amen. I feel behind the pulpit kind of like the farmer that showed up at the Kentucky Derby with his old mule, old blind bridles on and grass string for the reins and stuff. And he said, I'm going to enter my mule in the Kentucky Derby. And they said, fella, you can't enter that mule in the Kentucky Derby. He said, he wouldn't stand a chance. He said, well, I know that. He said, but the fellowship would do him good. So I probably can't keep up, but the fellowship would do me good. So we're so glad to be here tonight. All right, Judges chapter 14 and verse, well, I'm in Joshua. It'd help if I'd get in the right book, wouldn't it? That makes a big difference. All right, Judges chapter 14, and if y'all like, we'll go ahead and stand, pick up our reading in verse number 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Father, I pray that you'd bless as we look at your word of God, at the word of God tonight. Please bless it to our hearts. Please help us to receive what you have to say to us. Thank you for this church and this time of missions conference. I pray that our hearts would be stirred about the world,
yes,
lost souls and lost sinners,
yes,
all around that you loved and you died for and you would like to save if they would only believe on you. And so we pray that great things would be done for the cause of Christ during these days. To that end, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the Bible said in the book of Job, chapter 12, he said, ask the birds of the air, and they shall, or the beasts of the field, and they shall teach thee, and the birds of the air, and they shall tell thee. And I think as we look at God's creation, we can see some lessons, and we can learn some things from the critters, and from the beasts of the field. And so along those lines, we see Samson here. He's going down to the land of the Philistines to get a bride. I don't have time to preach on this tonight, but that's a mighty bad idea. And his godly parents told him that was a bad idea. Of course, he wouldn't listen to them, and that's not what I'm talking about tonight. But on the way to court that young lady, down in the land of the Philistines, here came a lion roaring out against him. Now, brother, if a lion came roaring out against me and you, that'd be a bad day. I mean, big old 1,000-pound critter like that and those big old teeth and everything, that'd be a bad deal for us. But it wasn't a problem at all for Samson, strongest man that ever lived. And by the way, the source of his strength was the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's the source of our strength, too. So the lion, the Bible said it roared against him. Why, that didn't bother him at all. He just reached down his throat, grabbed him by the stump of the tail, and snatched him inside out. The Bible said he rent him, amen, as he would a kid, and left the carcass there and went on his way. And as that time went on, he came again. If I know a young man that's a courting, it probably wasn't very long. And so he came by. He decided he would turn aside and see the carcass of that lion. Well, as he turned aside and he approached, he heard an unusual noise. Brother, there was a buzzing going on. And he saw an unusual sight. There was something coming out of that carcass.
Right.
And this doesn't have a thing in the world to do with the message. But I read about one old timer. He said back in the Depression, they used to eat all kinds of possum. He said one day we had old mule die and we drug it out. He said we went to look at it one day and he said a possum crawled out of that mule. He said I never wanted to eat any more after that. But he saw those bees flying out of that thing. And as he got closer, he saw something even more unusual. As he looked into the carcass of that lion, there was a hive of bees that had been busy. In a few days' time, they had built a hive. Not only had they built a hive, but they had begun to produce honey. And already there was honey that was sweet, that was good, and that he could take. It was a blessing to him. He could share with somebody else. And all of that taking place in this old dead, decayed carcass of the lion. So I want to talk to you tonight about God's beehive.
Amen.
That's my text. That's my subject that I want to try to be a blessing to you tonight. In this account, I see the bee. He's a picture of the Christian.
Right.
I see the hive. That's a picture of the church.
Yep.
You say, well, can a Christian be a Christian without the church? I don't know. You reckon a bee can be a bee without the hive? I guess on paper it's possible, but he's sure not going to get much honey making done. And a Christian that won't become a part of the church. I mean, Jesus built a church, and Jesus established a church, and Jesus commissioned. That's what this is all about, the commission that the Lord gave His church. If I could borrow a line from Brother Ballou, he said that the Great Commission is the marching orders that the Lord gave His church, and Missions Conference is our annual business meeting to see what we're going to do about it. Amen. That's pretty good. And so, the Lord, we need the church. Like the bee needs the hive, we need the church. Listen, I don't know a lot of y'all tonight, I don't know where you're a member at or anything, but I guarantee you one thing, if you're a member here, this church needs you. And you need this church. Sometimes we need to take off our big boy britches and realize that we can't do this thing on our own. We need each other. We need working together. Well, I better move along here. I see that, number one, there's the place of this beehive that shows us the separation of the church. These bees are setting us a good example. Here's this old lion. He's dead. This whole world's a dead place. Do you know that? Here's this old lion. He's been dead a while, so he's decayed. Is this old world getting pretty decayed? And here's this old lion. He's been dead and he's been decayed and he's getting pretty disgusting. Now, this political situation we're in right now. Well, I don't even want to get off on that. I heard this. You want to talk about decayed and disgusting? I heard this on the radio that the Ryman Auditorium. Do you know how the Ryman Auditorium got built? Sam Jones, he didn't have all his I's dotted and T's crossed. He was a Methodist, bless his heart. He knows better now. But I mean, he was a gospel preacher that preached revivals, and I mean, thousands, tens of thousands got saved across this country. He converted a riverboat captain, Captain Ryman, who paid out of his pocket to have that Ryman Auditorium built. And Sam Jones held meetings in that Ryman Auditorium to a capacity crowd.
Amen.
That was back not so long ago, maybe a little over 100 years ago.
Yep.
Recently, they had a drag queen show on the stage of the Ryman Auditorium. And I'm not talking about ladies that drive hot rods. I really don't know what all that is, but I know about as much of it as I want to know, and a heap more, really. I'm just saying, brother, we've come a long way since the days of Sam Jones in a short time. Brother, this whole world is decaying by the day. It's not getting better. Say, preacher, don't you think the Republicans are going to save the Republic? No, I think evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But here's the picture. Here's these bees. They're in this dead place, this decayed place, this disgusting place, and somehow they built a hive, and I don't understand all how they done it, but they sealed that thing off so they were in the line, but they're not of the line. That's exactly what the church is supposed to be. It's to be in the world, but not of the world. And there's to be a seal and a separation that though we're in this whole world today, the flavor of that carcass had not invaded the hive. It had not flavored the honey. And bless your heart, yes, we're in this old world today. Yes, Joe Biden's in office. Yes, all the rest of the sodomites and the trans weirdos and all that kind of stuff we could talk about. Yes, but I'm telling you, we can keep that flavor out of our church. And we can be separated, and we don't have to taste like this old world and smell like this old world and look like this old world. We can be in it, but not of it. Did you know there's certain bees that stand on duty at the door of the hive, and they check every bee that comes in to see whether what he's bringing in is the right thing for the hive? Boy, I tell you what, we've been having some stuff coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
I can't get into too much of it right now, but Brother Shepherd, that deal I called you about the other day. I mean, who in the world would think of some of this stuff? Thank God it's not our members, but some visitors, you know. I mean, there's some unusual things are going around. I'll tell you, we can't have that in the hive. They can visit, and I mean, hopefully they'll get right and get some things straightened out, get saved if they need to, get right with God, different things. But there's got to be some separation. I mean, thank God for the kind of music y'all have around here. You don't need the lights dimmed, and you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But it just reminds you a little. You don't need the lights dim. You don't need some outfit up here got a hairdo, look like he stuck his finger in the light socket. And got that you've seen the picture, got that green stuff under their eyes, looked like their gallbladder done busted, you know. Couldn't sing in a phone booth without a PA system. You don't need anything but this blessed old blackback King James Bible. You don't need anything but old time preaching, praising God, singing, shouting. And what you got, I mean, you got it. I like to come somewhere like this. It's got a good flavor. It's got a sweet flavor to it. It don't taste like that line in here. It is separated from the stench. It's separated from the smell. I want to tell you something. If the hive had lost that barrier of separation, it would have ceased to operate as an effective beehive. The honey would not have tasted good. I don't know what a mixture of honey and dead lion tastes like, but I don't think I want to find out. I don't think it's going to be too good. I know a mixture of the things of God and the things of this world, it don't taste good. In fact, it makes the Lord Jesus Christ sick. So there's the place of the beehive. That shows us the separation of the church. Let me talk about now the program of the beehive that shows us the service of the church. Like I said, probably just a day or two, maybe, that Samson had been gone, comes again, and already, this is a busy bunch.
Yeah.
They've built a hive, and they've started already producing
yeah.
Well, they didn't waste any time. You ever been around a beehive Get up to it, man. You can just hear that place is a buzz. Something's going on. Something's happening. That's the way the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place of business. It's supposed to be a place of work. Did you know one beehive can pollinize a whole area and make everything in that area grow better?
Right.
All them flowers and pumpkins and all the rest of it, they don't have to be part of that hive. But there's an effect. I guarantee, especially with this radio station, there's an effect this church has in this area. I talked to one fella, he raised bees, and he would export. He would rent out hives. They'd send them out to California, North Georgia, some of these places where there's fruit farms, and they would rent his bees for the summer. He'd send truckloads of hives out there. They'd set them up and let them pollinize that whole area. That's what missions is all about.
Amen.
Don't get nervous right here. I use the word missions. I like it. It's a good word. Yeah. Did you know that's not a Bible word?
Right.
I got wondering one time, what is the Bible word that's the equivalent of what we talk about with missions? You know what if you come up with something better, let me know. What I come up with is just church.
Amen.
You know what missions is? It's just this church duplicating itself, whether it be in the next county or whether it be in the next continent. By the way, on the 6 days of creation, God created two bees. God taught those bees how to establish a hive, and those two bees established hives and been reproducing hives ever since. I was going to get on this later on, but while I'm at it, I'll go ahead and put it in right here instead of later. You never see a renegade bee go out there and start a hive on its own. Hives are started out of hives. Amen. We've had some of that bunch. You know. Well, we're going to get bent out of shape and go on down the road and start our home fellowship and all that kind of stuff. That's an illegitimate bunch of garbage is what it is. Anything don't have a mama's illegitimate. Anything in Acts chapter number 13, they prayed, they fasted, they laid hands on Paul and Silas. They sent him out to start churches, and they've been doing it ever since. I have, and so God made those first two bees. God set up that first hive. They've been a duplicate. Ever since, nod your head right there. Jesus started a church in his earthly ministry. He taught it, he trained it, he commissioned it, he sent it out, and it's been duplicating itself ever since. You can trace hives like this all the way back to the First Baptist Hive at Jerusalem. If you don't like it, I can't help it. That's what missions. All missions is not. It's not no different over yonder than it is right here. Amen. They want to go to Spain and they want to go to Thailand and let the Lord establish something that looks just about. I mean, might be different language. There's going to be some cultural differences. I know, but it's going to be the same high producing the same kind of honey. That's what I'm talking about. Well, there's three kinds of bees. In every hive, there's three kind of bees in this church.
Yep.
There's worker bees.
Yep.
I believe you've got some.
Amen.
Worker bees, they live from 5 to 8 weeks. That's their whole life. And they literally work themselves to death. In their life's time on earth, those 5 to 8 weeks, they make about a teaspoon of honey. Well, I'm telling you, it takes a whole lot of bees. It takes some teamwork for them to get together.
Yeah.
When you pour that honey on that biscuit, that's several bees' whole life right there. I hope you enjoy it. Amen. You remember that. You remember that next time. Amen. In the average hive has about 60,000 bees, and the hive will fly enough miles in a day that they could get to the moon and back every day. That many bees flies that many miles. They could fly to the moon and back every day. Now, all bees don't have the same role. And you know that. All Paul's told us there's different gifts. The Lord has equipped different ones. We're not all an eye. We're not all an ear. We've got different gifts. Well, there's different kinds of bees. There's some that they go out of the hive and they gather. There's some that clean and feed the young. Thank God for those that attend the nursery, teach Sunday school classes, take care of young children, mothers in the home, keep them young. That's the future of the hive right there. If those young ones aren't brought up right, there's not going to be any hive after a while. And so it is. Thank the Lord for all the young folks and kids. We had a missionary at our place. He said, I didn't know if I was coming into the nursery or the church, you know, when I came in.
Amen.
So there's bees that tend to the young. And there's this kind of bee right here. Every church needs some. When the hive gets too hot. See, the temperature in the hive's got to be regulated or make that beeswax melt.
Right.
And sometimes it'll get too hot in the hive. Y'all don't ever have it get hot in the hive, do you?
Yeah.
Well, I better move on. I mean the temperature, you know, somebody starts tugging that collar a little bit, getting a little flushed, getting a little loud. You know what those bees, some of these bees do when it starts to get hot? They'll fan their wings real fast and cool it down. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
It's good to have some folks in the church that know how to avoid conflict and diffuse a situation instead of always pouring gasoline on a match. It's good to have some of them wise bees that can help out with that. There's bees that stand on guard. There's bees, like I mentioned a minute ago, they'll test everything that comes into the hive. Somebody's got to test. Make sure none of those Steven Anderson bees come swarming in here. I'll just go ahead and tell you who that bee is. It's the pastor.
Amen.
You might think, well, sometimes he's a little tough and he's a little overboard and he draws the line a little bit too tight. You better appreciate that. You better appreciate that. It'll keep the hive right. It'll keep the honey tasting right. Keep things like they're supposed to be. And so there's those worker bees. The Bible said, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God puts the church together, and He adds the different gifts, the different talents, and the different callings and so forth together to make it a working body that'll get the job done for the honor and glory of God. You've got to have worker bee. I hope you're a worker bee. Because there's another kind of bee. That's them old drones. Now you ladies, you're going to love this. So y'all cooking, so I got to keep y'all happy, you know. Amen. I won't tell you what one of these brothers said at dinner about women voting. I won't talk about that. But here's the deal. Every worker bee is a female. Guess what every drone bee is? Listen. You say, I know, that was my husband, you know. he fits the category. Every one of those drones is a male. There's a message in there somewhere. I'll let Brother Shepherd preach that on the radio down the road sometime. But the old drones. Now, when a drone is born, he won't feed himself.
Yep.
Somebody's got to feed him.
Yep.
Have y'all ever had, it might just be me, I don't know. It might just be my preaching. Maybe this never happened to any other pastor in here. But have you ever had folks say, I'm just not getting fed around here? All right, I'm glad it wasn't just me then. Well, I can feed you so much, but you got to feed yourself. And incidentally, if you're going to fuss about not being fed, you ought to at least show up at feeding time. You know, it's kind of funny about folks fussing about not getting fed, and they don't show up but one time a week. Well, and we've got a great church. I'm talking about some of the peripheral, you know. But they won't feed themselves. Tell you something else, they won't clean themselves.
Yep.
Somebody else has to clean them.
Yep.
Somebody's got to constantly tell them why that old country music's wrong, why that old rock music's wrong, why that indecent dress is wrong. I mean, they can't just take a Bible and come to some good, honest conclusions about separated living and clean up their own life. I mean, I'm all for preaching standards, but man, it'd be good if we didn't have to preach some of this stuff if you just figured out and live it. I mean, sometimes I feel kind of trifling, but I mean, if people are going to live trifling, I guess you have to preach trifling. Right? That's the old drone. He won't feed himself. He won't clean himself. His only use is to fertilize the queen. Now you might say, well, it sounds like those old drones have got it made. Well, here's the thing about the drone. That hive can support the drone population through the summer. But somewhere in the fall, those bees get together and they have a meeting according to Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5. I don't know if they vote on it or not. Some way or another, they kick every one of those drones out of the hive and leave them to die in the cold. Because they know that the hive cannot support those drones through the winter months. I want to tell you something. This hive can only support so many drones. Did you know that? So don't be an old drone bee. Be a worker bee. And by the way, when the drone gets kicked out, he doesn't move down the road and join the next hive by a statement of faith. You're welcome. The Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 5, but the nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. That's those old drone bees. Now, there's another bee in the hive. That's the queen bee. I hate to take something feminine and make it a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible does that with wisdom in the book of Proverbs, so I think it'll be all right. But everything in that hive revolves around the queen. The queen is the source of all new life. The queen is the leader. That hive swarms, and that's how a new hive is started, when another queen comes and leads part of that hive on to start another hive. That's what I was getting at a minute ago. Everything. And when that hive swarms, you ever seen a swarm?
Yeah.
Big old ball of bees. You know what every one of those bees is doing? They're trying to get as close to the queen as they can possibly get.
Amen.
How good it'd be if every member of this church and our church,
yes, sir,
and all those represented here would do their best to get as close to their Savior,
amen,
as possible.
Amen.
What a difference,
yes,
it would make. The queen is the centerpiece of everything. There can only be one queen in a hive. And the Bible said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's the foundation of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the cornerstone. He's the capstone. He's the theme of the preaching. He's the object of the praise. He's the one that gets the glory. He's the one that builds it. He's the one that bought it. He's the one that'll bring it home one of these days. That's our Lord. Glad I'm in His hive. I wouldn't want to be in anybody else's. And so that's the product or the program of the beehive that shows us the service of the church. We've seen the place of the beehive shows us the separation. The program that shows us the service. Let me talk right quick about the product of the beehive. That shows us the sweetness of the church. I see here that Samson came and there was available in this beehive, there was honey. The Bible said he took it. Now that honey is the gospel. He took it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, and which you have received, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory.
Right.
By which you're saved. You know what he said? You have received it.
Right.
Now, You can look at honey. And you can touch honey. But until you taste it, you'll never get the benefit.
That's right.
Until you, the psalmist said, oh, taste and see.
Amen.
That the Lord is good. Can I talk maybe to somebody that's maybe a young person, maybe an older, I don't know. But you're a member of this church. Maybe you're a member of a good family. Maybe you've been raised up in church. And you know how to sing the songs. And you know how to talk the lingo and talk the talk and all that stuff. Listen, mom and daddy can taste the honey. And grandma and grandpa can taste the honey. And your preacher can taste the honey. But bless your heart, until you taste the honey, you're not saved.
Right.
Salvation's an individual matter. It's a personal matter. And it's up to each one of us to repent of our sins and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal, individual matter. He took it. And the Bible said he went on eating. Salvation's not just good for today. But I mean, it'll change the rest of your life. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 15, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Now all the crowd thinks you can lose it. By the way, somebody said to me, said, y'all don't believe you can lose it. I said, if I thought it was an it, I would think you could lose it. But it's not an it, it's a he. Amen right there. But they say, well, if you keep in memory, let me ask you something. If you've ever tasted honey, I wonder if you could forget what it tastes like. If you ever get a good dose of old time salvation, brother, you're not going to forget. You're not going to forget. That's not qualification, that's evidence. But I'm telling you, as you go on down the road of life, there's a continuous supply of that sweetness that makes the walk as we go on down this road. Though yes, there's hardships and heartaches and hillsides and battles to fight, there's always that supply of sweetness after we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he took it. He went on eating. And then, there's missions now. What did he do? He gave it to somebody else.
Right.
Somebody else needs a taste.
Yeah, that's right.
There's folks in Spain that need a taste of it. There's folks in Thailand. There's folks at the nursing home. Amen, Brother Williams. And all. And I didn't aim to leave any of you out, but I mean, there's folks all around this world need a taste.
Yeah.
Of the honey of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed soul-saving gospel.
Yeah.
My grandparents were missionaries in Ethiopia and had a deaf ministry, actually the largest deaf ministry in that country before communism took over. And if you think all this socialism stuff they're talking about now is a good idea, you ought to go talk to some of those Ethiopians.
Right.
But anyway, I don't have time to talk about all of that, but they found a man over there who was a slave, who was a deaf man, had been sold, who could not read or write, and all he could communicate was just a few points and grunts, you know, to get his point, and had just been worked nearly to death. Well, they took him in, and they began to, they said they actually had to soak his hands in water to get where he could hold a pencil or make sign language and stuff and communicate. Finally, they got where they could talk to him, and he could sign, and he began to learn some stuff. One day in church, Grandpa would preach, and Grandma would interpret to the deaf, you know, in sign language. One day he came forward during the invitation. Grandpa said it was the simplest prayer I've ever seen. All he could do is just sign four simple words. He said, I sin, Jesus die, save. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, that'll get the job done. That'll get to any old sinner, brother, that'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. He may not know all the words and all the lingo. He just knows he needs a taste of honey. That's what missions is about.
Amen.
I mean, there's folks all across the world like that. I'm glad that we can give it to them, give them what we've tasted. How selfish would we be? Boy, I'm sitting here, man, I've got two big old cat head biscuits and they're just swimming in honey. And that fella sitting down at the other end of the table, he don't have no honey on his biscuits. What kind of hog would you be to sit there like that?
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you, what kind of hog would we be to sit here with the gospel of Jesus Christ? when so many around the world are dying and on their way to a devil's hell. Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." It changed my life and it changed their life. Then the Philistines said later on, I don't have time to get into all that story, in verse 18, they said, "What is sweeter than honey?" Could I ask you a question? What is sweeter than the gospel? What's sweeter than Jesus? I see Jonathan weary, weak in that battle, fighting in that battle of life. There's folks like that today, weak and weary, and so, and he's walking through the woods there, and there's a hive of bees, and they were making honey, and they weren't hoarding the honey in the hive, but that hive was so full of honey that it spilled out and fell on the ground. And Jonathan came along, stuck his staff in that, yeah, and got one taste of it. And the Bible said his eyes were enlightened.
That's right.
Well, let's come back to Samson right quick here. And I see some notable things in our text. As we opened our reading in verse number 5, we see Samson on his way to get a Gentile bride. Now, I'm not backing up on what I said a while ago. That's a bad idea. But what a picture. On his way to get a Gentile bride. On his way to get a Gentile bride, he meets a lion. Does that remind you of somebody else that we know about? And brother, thank God, I saw that there was nothing in his hand, but with his own bare hands, he defeated that lion.
Amen.
Jesus, he had nothing in his hand. He had no sword, had no spear, had no sling, but thank God, on the way to get his beloved, on the way to get his bride, he met that lion named Satan. He met that lion of death. He met that lion of sin, and with nothing in his hand, by his own blood, he conquered.
Amen.
Well, he went down. Now here, brother, boy, this gets good right here. Verse number 8. And after a time, wonder how long a time is. I don't know. It's been about 2,000 years. But I don't know how much longer it's going to be. The time could be just about over with. After a time, he said, "I'm going, but I'm coming. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself where I am." Amen. Maybe also, watch. After a time, he returned to take her. Whoop, hallelujah, right there. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That call's coming. It could be tonight. He went, he conquered, he came again to take her. And as he came again, he came by to inspect what was going on at the hive. Brother, our Lord is gone. He's conquered. He's coming again. When he comes again, there's going to be some inspection.
That's right.
"Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ."
Amen.
So Jesus is coming again.
Yes, he
is. He's conquered death. He's given us full salvation. He's given us the sweetness of the gospel. He's coming again. May God help this hive, my hive, and every other hive to keep on making honey.
Amen.
Until he comes again. Father, we pray you bless your word tonight and bless this great church, Lord. Please be all in the rest of this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brother Shepherd.
Bless you. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the hive, ain't you? Amen. Appreciate that. Good preaching. A lot of good symbolism in there that we can see where there's a lot of truth that we need to put into practice. Matter of fact, there's probably more in that than you can get in one sitting. Amen. Might be good to chew on that a little bit, think on it a little bit as to what God might say to each of us. Amen. Amen. All right, let me do this. Let me have all the preachers stand, if you will. All the men of God stand. And we did that this morning. Last night I didn't recognize the preachers. And I know we've had several come in that wasn't even here this morning. And we appreciate you being here. And I want to let each one of you tell who you are, where you're from. And if you want to say a little something about that, that'll be a blessing. All right, Brother Miller.